Glory to God.
Word for us. And if you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Glory to God. I'll just hold on for a while you open your Bibles. I just want to emphasize that today is a family service, so all the children are staying in. In the course of the service, if you feel that your child is a bit agitated, you can go downstairs. There's somewhere downstairs for the children to walk around and play around and bring them back in. If you are also nursing a baby, there's a nursing room downstairs. You can speak to an usher and an usher will lead you to a nursing room. Glory to God. Glory to God. Awesome. Shall we please read our word? John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. This is after Jesus had resurrected. He had met a lot of people. He had revealed himself to a lot. But this is the time when he came to his disciples. And John records it as so. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the door locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Glory to God. Shall we please close our eyes while we pray? Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. We give you glory and we give you honor for your word that has come to us. Lord, help us as we look into your word and we break it down. We pray your will be done amongst us. Spirit of our living God, that you will take full control and authority over the rest of our service. You speak to us as we yield, as we speak by your authority. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 This morning, I'm speaking on the subject, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Right from the book of Genesis, we are told in Genesis chapter 3, how human beings, Adam and Eve, the first creations, the first humans on earth, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. And by them sinning against God, there was an enmity between human beings and God. And so God came down and he told them to leave his promised garden, the garden which he had set apart for them to live in. Because there was that enmity between man and God, he asked them to leave his garden. He put curses. And since then, human beings have been struggling till now. God created his perfect world, but the devil found a way to come in and distort it. And since then, before Jesus came, there had been that strife between humans and God. Humans were not at peace with God. Humans were separated from God. Because God told Adam and Eve, from the day they eat of the fruit of good, of the knowledge of good and bad, they would die. And that death was both spiritual and physical, because spiritually they were separated from God. But physically too, there was going to be a time when human beings would die and leave this earth and go into either eternal joy or suffering. And so you can see that since then, God had been trying everything he could to engage with human beings. And human beings had also been looking for God. Others had not been looking for God. We had been doing our own thing. So there was this strife constantly going on. But by God's grace, he had a way out. And Jesus came to die. On Friday, we looked at the different reflections, how Jesus suffered on the Calvary cross, the pain that he went through. Now he had died on the cross. He had been brought down and been buried in a tomb. And on the third day, as he promised that he would rise, he resurrected. And then he appears to his disciples. And the first thing he does when he comes, he says, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." It is no wonder that Jesus Christ is the King of Peace, because he came to connect us to God. He came to be the ultimate sacrifice that would appease God. Isaiah 53 talks of this. And so now Jesus has come to his disciples. The doors were shut. The disciples on Friday, when Jesus was caught, a few days, they all scattered and ran and left Jesus. And now Jesus is dead. They are all hiding because they were afraid that they were going to be caught and also killed and murdered like him. Peter, we remember, even disowned Jesus. And so this is them, 10 of them, in a room, locked up with fear, as the passage says, that they were going to be dealt with just as Jesus had been dealt with. And then suddenly Jesus appears amongst them. Awesome, right? This tells us something about Jesus. The resurrected Jesus is not bound to doors. These human walls are not bound to Jesus. And so wherever you find yourself, if Jesus wants to reach you, he will reach you. If Jesus decides to come to you, he will come to you. It doesn't matter whether you are in prison, or whether you know someone in prison, or whether you know someone in chains. It doesn't matter whatever the enemy tries to do to dislocate you from God. But Jesus is not bound to our physical limitations. He is the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, and he will come regardless. And we see him do this, appear among his disciples. And when he comes, he says, "Peace be unto you." He had to tell them, "Peace be unto you," because they had been running. They had disowned him. And so you can imagine how it would have felt to have Jesus appear among them. If I was Jesus, I would have given them double slaps. Foolish guys, Jesus did not do that. Jesus is different. Jesus is different. He is the King of Peace. Jesus appears amongst them, and the first thing he does, he brings a message of calmness. Keep calm. Don't rush. Don't run from me. I have come as a brother. I have come to engage with you. I have come to show you love. I have come to bring you together. I have not come to judge you. I have not come to accuse you. I have not come to point fingers at you. And maybe some of us here today needs to hear that our Lord Jesus is a Lord of Peace. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have been doing, that today you are seated here, the Lord is not pointing fingers at you. Amen. The Lord is not pointing fingers at us. He is rather coming with arms wide open, saying that I have made a way for you to now come to the Father. I have connected you with the Father. For he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Father is now accepting us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made that way possible. And so we cannot live in fear. Terrorists cannot hold us away. They can try. Let them set all the bombs. Let them do it. It will not work in the name of Jesus. These days, we are not bound by fear, no intimidation. Nothing can stop us. But Jesus, because Jesus has come to win the victory for us. The devil can try. He can do everything. We fear no more. We fear no more. I can actually make another message called "We Fear No More." We fear no more. Bring all the best. Bring it all on. Let the enemy bring all the best on. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you are here running from the police. Maybe you are... You, You had to watch left and right before you entered here. Maybe your husband has been abusing you. Maybe you go to school, young ones, and you are bullied. Maybe you have discrimination against you. There are many ways you might not be at peace. Maybe you have financial struggle. In the case of his disciples, they were running from the authorities then. Today, you might be running from something. Jesus has come to make a way for you and me. Amen. You can't run anymore. Peace be unto you. He ministered to his people. So look at the verse 20 to 23. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. They needed to have the confirmation, the affirmation that Jesus was real. They looked at the sides, the wounds. He showed them to affirm to them that it was him. It wasn't a ghost. It wasn't some demon manifesting himself as Jesus. No. If you are seeing Jesus without his marks, you are in trouble. If you have a spiritual revelation of Jesus, you should see these marks. No angel can reveal themselves to you and say they are God or they are Jesus, because the Lord Jesus' marks are evident that he is the one that came to die to liberate us. And so we can take joy and confidence in this. As the Father sent me, I also send thee. He gave them a message. Go to the world and preach the gospel. Jesus came, and his priority was to connect us with God. And he was saying to them that, I have taught you for all these years of working with you how to do this work. And now it is time. My work here on this earth has come to an end. But I am going to the Father, and I need you to continue this work on this earth. He gave them a message, and he said to them, go and teach, go and win souls. This tells us something, that we believers, we Christians, me and you here today, cannot enjoy what we are having here. We cannot enjoy Jesus alone. He wants us to share him with the rest of the world. And so whatever avenue you are in, whatever ability you have, in any way you know Jesus, you want to work on sharing that Jesus with someone. Go as I send you. The Father sent Jesus, and he is sending us into the world. Today being Easter, don't forget that there is a work for me and you to do. Not everyone in our communities are saved. Not everyone at school is saved. Not everyone we work with is saved. And so when we are going into the rest of the world, when we are going into our workplaces, very soon I'll be closing our service. When you step out, remember that the Lord has a mission for me and you. But the Lord didn't leave them to just go on their own. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus had received the Holy Spirit himself when he was baptized. Luke tells of that. And the Spirit of God dwelt with Jesus and used him on this earth. Now he had died, he had resurrected, and he is going to his Father. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. The same way, just as the first creation, Adam and Eve, especially in the case of Adam, the word of God says that God breathed into him life. And so when Jesus came to his disciple, he breathed into them rebirth. And so at that moment, when he breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit, they received a new beginning, a fresh start, a new hope, a new strength and encouragement, which is only from the Holy Spirit. So you see, that which Adam couldn't do, me and you, because of the Holy Spirit's presence with us, we can do what Adam couldn't do. If we depend on the Holy Spirit, if we open up for the Holy Spirit to use us and to dwell with us, He will give us strength, He will encourage us, He will empower us, and we will be able to live for Jesus Christ. Just as He says in Acts chapter 8 verse 1, I will send the Comforter, and when He comes, He will give you power to be my witnesses. Wherever you find yourself lacking, whatever you can't do, maybe you are struggling with your Christian walk with God. You can't read your Bible, or when you read the Bible, you don't understand. You can't really live this life of righteousness and holiness. You can't commit to living for Jesus. Oh, some of us, we don't intend to tell lies, but we are always lying. You are battling. There are so many things you wish you could do. Like the Apostle Paul says, the things I wish not to do, they are the things I do. And so all of us, as we have our imperfection, by the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises, we can be worked upon. We can be encouraged. We can be empowered to live for Jesus. Isn't this awesome? And so me and you cannot live on this earth and neglect a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And He says, if you forgive the sins of any, if you forgive the sins of any. Jesus gives His disciples authority to announce forgiveness and to warn of guilt as authorized by the Holy Spirit. You see, by the Holy Spirit, we can tell others that your sins are forgiven. We can encourage others. At this point, in this time, it is never about judgment. It is all about the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering that there is an end to everything that we do on this earth, and it can either end up in eternal joy or eternal suffering. But me and you, we have a place and position in society these days to stand against that which is not right before God. That is why children of God cannot overlook the racism in our world. That's why children of God cannot overlook the abuse that is going on in our world. That is why children of God cannot overlook the poverty, the way others are treated in this world. We need to have a voice. We need to speak against evil. We need to declare that which is evil and stand against it, work against it, and pray against it. As the Spirit of God leads us through the Word of God, through the Bible, the things that are there are the things we are supposed to see happening in our world. And so my question here is, are you entertaining any life of sin? What are you entertaining? What are you happy doing? Jesus has given us a mandate to tell people and encourage them of the love of God. And so when you look at this, we have fourfold ministry that Jesus has given us to proclaim forgiveness. To proclaim forgiveness. And it is the duty of the church to warn the unbelievers that they are in the danger of forfeiting the mercy of God. You see, it's all about presenting Jesus. It's all about presenting Jesus. So now our ministry is in fourfold. We are to walk in the ministry of forgiveness, assuring people that Jesus has come to forgive us. Through Jesus, they are forgiven. By the blood that Jesus shed, we are forgiven by the Father. Not just that, a mission. We are on a mission. We need to proclaim the Holy Spirit and authority to believers today. We have to introduce the Spirit of our living God. Many of us are not working on this. This afternoon, my word of encouragement has come to an end. But I want to encourage you as children of God to remember what Jesus has done. He has come to die to give us peace. He has connected us to the Father. And so wherever you are now, we are going to go into a time of communion. We're going to have communion. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are now in your walk with God, You can start afresh.